Thank you, Tracy and Karen. Good job on each one of those songs. A message in each one of them. Let me begin this evening by expressing appreciation to you as a church in allowing me to work this series of services. Back early in the year, the deacons and I sat down and they had asked me if I had any goals for this year, and really at that time I really hadn't given it a lot of thought, but I sat down then the following week and I just scribbled down a number of things that I thought would be good goals for our church, and I came back to the next meeting and overwhelmed them, I think, with how many things I came up with. And one of them was that I did make the request that I would like to work one more revival meeting. And I appreciate the confidence in the church in allowing me to do this. Let me say this to each one of you here this evening, but in particular, do I want to speak to one individual tonight. In all my years of preaching, I have never heard a lost person say they're sorry the Lord saved them. Never. Never. I can't believe that anyone who truly has been saved would ever be guilty of saying that. I think many times that we may look pretty sorry and we may act pretty sorry, but the bottom line is if the Lord truly has saved us, we're thankful for that. And I want to say to you this evening that I am most thankful that so many years ago the Lord saved me. I have not been a very good servant of His, but I will tell you this. I am proud to stand here this evening and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know of anyone in the world that I would recommend any higher to you than Him. I will say that over the years that the Lord has blessed me and has been so good to me as one of His children. And if He had never done anything except save me, that was the most important thing that ever happened in my life. And I want that to happen to you. Let me share with you for a few minutes some thoughts. Well, first of all, as many years as it has been, I have not forgotten how it felt to be lost. And it's not a pleasant feeling. It's not a good feeling. And I had a lot of mixed emotions about the whole thing, if you really want to know the truth, because I didn't understand what people were talking about. I just knew there was something wrong in my heart and my life. Now, today I could tell you that that was conviction. That was the Lord working, and you Christians can all smile and nod your head yes about it because you know, but these people who are lost, they don't know that. And that's who I'm talking to this evening. So, you know, and let me just say this. I don't know a single one of your hearts here tonight. So, I've heard some of you with the mouth make confession, but I cannot look into your heart, and I do not know your heart this evening. Neither does anyone else here know your heart excepting the Lord. And He knows your heart, and you know your heart tonight. You know how you're feeling right now. Not how you're going to feel later, but how you feel right now. And I can tell you that, as I said, it's not a good feeling. I don't mean that you're going to just sit there and suffer and be miserable and everything, but I can assure you that there are probably a lot of things that I'm going to say that won't make a lick of sense to you. And I thought, I understand that because I was lost too. I had no idea when people began to talk about getting saved what they were talking about. I'd never been saved. I didn't know what that meant. I knew people got up and went down to the altar, but I didn't know what they did when they got down there. I'd hear people praying, but I didn't know what those people were doing that went down there, that people had gone and begged them to come, and they'd come to the altar. I didn't know, didn't understand all of that. I still don't understand some of it today. I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you this one thing, that the Lord has to work in your heart, and He will work in your heart. He's not just going to work in your head, and I want you to understand that, and I want you to never be satisfied with anything less than knowing that you have been saved. Don't settle for I think, I hope, I believe. That won't get it done. I hear people say that all the time, and I worry about some of those people, because some of them who are just hoping, who are just thinking, and are just, you know, thinking, well, someday it's going to be all right. It probably isn't. God will let you know. Now, you're probably going to say, well, how is He going to let me know? God is going to speak to your heart, to your heart. You're not going to hear any loud booming voice come from out of heaven and call you out by name. But He'll still speak to your heart. And you may not understand that. He doesn't ask you to understand all of these things. He doesn't expect you to understand, because you're lost and you're away from Him. And He knows that. But He's working in your heart because He loves you. And one of the things that you need to understand is that when God is dealing with you, you just need to be thankful that He is. That means that He has chosen you. I hear people all the time talk about how they made their decision for the Lord and what all they've done. That's baloney. Don't fall for it. If that's all they've done, they haven't got it. Because the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. God is the one who does the choosing, not us. My thought this evening for you would be this, from the third chapter of the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. God will deal with you by His Spirit that He sent back into the world. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is the same purpose that Jesus had when He came here in the flesh. And Jesus, when He was here in the flesh, said, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that has not changed, even though He was crucified and He went away. He said, to the disciples and to His followers, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. I will send a comforter back to you in the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Holy Spirit today here to guide us and direct us and to speak to our hearts and our lives. You don't understand all that. I know that. I didn't understand it. I'm not saying here that you don't know as much as I know, because you knew more than I did. But let me tell you something. What I'm telling you about this evening is what I've gained from experience, not what I knew when I was lost. There are examples in the Word of the Lord where that as the Spirit of the Lord spoke unto people, that they didn't recognize Him either. The young lad over in the Old Testament was lying in bed one night, and the Lord spoke unto him. And he got up out of the bed and he ran into the fellow that he was serving, Eli, and said unto him, "You called me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." So little Samuel goes back and gets back in his bed again, and again the Lord speaks to him, but he is not aware that this is the Lord speaking. Don't be overly concerned that you don't understand all the things that we're talking about. What you need to understand is that the Lord is standing at your heart's door. Let me tell you something. There isn't any more important person in the world, and you couldn't have asked for anybody to come and knock at your heart's door than the Lord Jesus Christ. I just, this week, was out, and a person, as I went through the checkout, said, "Oh, did you see my picture in the paper?" I said, "No, I didn't see your picture." Well, I let the air out of the sails right then, you know, because she was just so hopeful that I'd seen her picture in the paper. And I said, "Well, what was your picture in the paper about?" She said, "Oh," she said, "I got my picture taken with the lieutenant governor." I said, "That's all." But now to her, that was a, you know, he was a pretty important person. Well, everybody here knows why that I look at it a little differently than she did. But let me tell you something. There are going to be the opportunities for you to meet a lot of different people, and you're going to be able to come in contact with a lot of people. Some of them may be famous people. Some of them may not be. Some of them are going to be good people. Some are going to be bad people. But the best person that you will ever have any relationship with, or who will ever that you will come in contact with, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this evening, if he's knocking at your heart's door, you know what Jesus said? He said, "If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." You know why he's there? Because he knows that you need him in your heart and your life. You may not know that. You may not recognize that. You may not realize it to the full extent yet. But I can assure you this evening that you do. And I will guarantee you this. With every bit of strength there is about me and everything there is that I possess, I can guarantee you that once you know him, you will not be sorry. I thought, as I began to make my journey to the foot of the cross, that, man, I'm going to have to give up a lot. Some of you have heard me tell, and I'll say this to you that are lost. I truly thought, as if I was ever going to get saved, I wanted to wait until I was an old man. Yeah. And the reason I wanted to wait until I was an old man is that I heard those preachers get up there and preach about what all you can't do and you shouldn't do. And by golly, I wanted to do a lot of those things. And you know, those people sit there and say, "Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord," you know. And well, I don't want any of that. Not until I'm an old man. And when I'm an old man, I'll be so old that I couldn't do those things anymore anyway. Now that was my thinking. Yeah. Well, the Lord didn't let me have my way. And I'm thankful he didn't. There's still a lot of things I shouldn't do and I can't do, but there's a lot of things I can do. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's going to knock at your heart's door. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So whenever that the Lord saves you, first thing you need to understand is he will let you know. You don't need anybody else to tell you because they don't know. They may think they do. They may want to, but they do not know. You will be the first person that the Lord lets know. You will be the only person He's going to let know. Let me tell you something else. He says, I stand at the door and knock. I think back as a kid, Shirley, when I was growing up, I never once thought of when I got home of knocking at the door. I just went right on in, you know, to my folks. I'm talking about the home where I lived. You know, I didn't knock to go in. I just went in. That was home. But I wouldn't think of coming to your house, any of you, and no matter how many times you say, oh, just come on in. If I'm not there, well, just go on in. Or if I'm busy, just come on in. I wouldn't think of it. I'm going to knock at the door. I even got in my latter years, you know, when I go to my mom and dad's house. I'd knock before my mom and say, what are you knocking for? Well, it wasn't my home anymore. Let me tell you something. When God is knocking at your heart's door, He's wanting to come in. You know, I don't go up to somebody's door and knock and not want to at least see them. I may not want to go in the house, but I came there to see them. And so when God is knocking at your heart's door, He's wanting to come into your heart. It's just that simple. He will not force His way in. He's not going to kick the door in. He's not going to, for one single second, force His way on you. He's going to allow you to be the one. He says, if any man will open, you have to do the opening. He's not going to push the door open. As a matter of fact, let me just share with you, and I wrote this guy's name down because I knew I wouldn't remember. How many of you know who Holman Hunt is? Anybody here know who Holman Hunt is? Well, my goodness, I thought every probably one of you know who that was. I didn't either. Well, he's the artist who painted the picture, The Light of the World. How many of you know now who he was? Still nobody knows? Well, how many of you have ever seen the picture of portraying Jesus outside of this little cottage with the vines growing down over and he's knocking at the door? Yeah. See, that's probably what we should. He says, but he didn't title his painting that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's probably what we would have name that portrait. Most of you have seen it. You just probably are not getting a good description of it from me. Well, that painting is in the St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And there was a fellow who went there to see it, and after he had looked at it, he had the opportunity to meet Mr. Hunt. And he said, you did a marvelous job of that painting, but you made one slight mistake. He said, there is no latch on the door. There's no latch on the door. Mr. Hunt said, no, that was not a mistake. The latch is on the inside, and the door can only be opened by the person from the inside. And I thought, how wonderful of an illustration that is when the Lord is standing at the door and knocking. He will not force His way in. He will wait there patiently. He said, today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As He knocks, He's waiting for the person to open the door to their heart and let Him come in. And He will come in. He will come in. Let me just carry this a step further, because I think it's important that you understand just some very simple things. There isn't anything else you can do excepting that. Now, I went to the altar, and at the end of this service, we're going to give an invitation song and invite you to come down here, but I want to tell you something right now. Coming down here isn't going to save you. It won't save you. There isn't any power, there isn't anything vested in that bench, or these people who would gather here, or this preacher who would be here to pray for you and with you. That's the purpose of coming down here to the altar. It's not to get you saved, because we can't save you. It's a good place to come. It's a good place for God's people to come. They don't come anymore. We've become a proud and a stiff-necked people. But we'll encourage you to come. And I will encourage you to do that. But I want you to understand that just because you come down here, you aren't going to get saved. I can remember in the early years of my preaching when I would have people who would say, you know, I went to the altar 75 times and still didn't get saved. Well, Lord, if all you're doing is just counting how many times you got, no wonder you didn't get saved. You didn't have your mind on getting saved. You had your mind on how many times you're going to go to the altar. And then you've got churches that believe that if you aren't in the place where they're having the services, you can't be saved either. Let me tell you something. Every single person who has ever been saved got to the same place. That's the foot of the cross. You got to the Lord. And we had to do the same thing that he's wanting you to do. We had to open up our heart and let him come in. Let him come in. You can't make him come in. He doesn't work that way. Do you understand all this? No, you don't understand all this. I'm probably still saying things that you don't understand, but I know this one thing, that if God's dealing with your heart, you know something's going on there. Yeah. You might not be able to identify it as conviction, but you know there's something wrong. Maybe he's speaking to you, because he does speak to people today, just like he always has. Just like I said earlier, not with a loud booming voice that you're going to hear, but in that still small voice as he spoke to the old prophet in the days of old. Now, I didn't finish about little Samuel, did I? I left him with two trips back to see Eli. Finally, Eli realized that God was speaking to Samuel. And so he said, you go back in there and you lay down and you listen. You listen to what God has to say to you. I just want you to listen to God as he speaks to your heart tonight. That's all I'm asking you to do. Listen to him. And then as he knocks at your heart's door, I hope that you'd be willing to open your heart and to let him come in. And if you will, he said, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And I got to what about this sup thing, you know. Well, it's a short version of the word supper. Now, there's something else that you probably need to be made aware of here. This text comes out of the letter that the Revelator John had written under inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord to the church of Laodicea. Now, in the book of Revelation, there were seven letters, seven churches, seven letters written to seven churches. And the church of Laodicea was the last one that had a letter written to them. In every one of the other churches, the letter had complimentary things to say about the church. It said, God knows the good things that you've done. However, he had something that each one of them needed to correct. But the church of Laodicea, which was the last one that he wrote to, there was not one good thing he had to say about them. Not one good thing. Let me tell you something. You cannot be saved because of your goodness. You cannot be saved because you are better. Not a single one of us here this evening were saved because of our goodness. We were saved because God loved us and He was merciful to us. And He recognized that we did not have the ability to save ourselves. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works. So there's nothing. You know, that's why I say, coming to the altar won't save you. Coming to this church won't save you. Coming, talking to this preacher won't save you. I'd talk to you until I'm blue in the face if that would do the job, but it won't. There are people here who would pray for you, do anything they can to help you to be saved, because we know how important that is. But we cannot save you. You have to open up your heart unto the Lord and let Him in. And the instant you do that, He's going to come in and sup with you, and you with Him. Now, I said that this was the last church that He wrote a letter to, and the last thing that He wrote to them was to give them the opportunity to open up their hearts and let Him come in. How does He knock at your heart's door? Well, He's going to do that through this, His Word, through the songs that were sung, the message that was in the songs this evening, through the prayers that have been prayed, through His Holy Spirit that He has in the world today, that you cannot see but can feel. Do I understand it all? Certainly I don't. I don't make any pretense about it. I cannot describe to you what salvation is really like. I can give you a biblical definition of it, but that doesn't begin to explain what is in my heart, because there are no words to be able to describe that. We try. I try to encourage you, and I want you to allow the Lord to save you. But I can't make you, I can't coerce you into it, and I wouldn't if I could, to be honest with you. And God won't either. He allows us to make choices ourselves, and every single one of us makes the decision as to whether or not we're going to open the door or not and let Him in. Sunday night, now I hesitated here a second because I'm not sure I wanted to say this, but I will. My text will be too late. Too late. Please do not wait if the Lord is knocking at your heart's door until it's too late. Because there is such a thing. And in spite of all that is being said today, and all the things that people want to be sure that everybody has the opportunity up to the last breath, God doesn't teach that in His Word. It's not there, folks. Now, we like to think that. Not long ago, I told you, and I'm going to get ready for an invitation. Not long ago, I said, as many funerals as I've done over the years, you always like to be able to say some good things about the person. It's always easier if that person has left a testimony that the Lord has come into their heart somewhere along the way. If they haven't, it's somewhat difficult because you don't know. But I'm not going to get up and preach them into heaven after they're dead. neither am I going to get up and send them to hell, because that's not within my sword either. But let me tell you something. As long as God is knocking at your heart's door, you have the opportunity. But He does allow you to make the choice. And He will allow you to ignore Him and go on your way and end up in hell. Now, He allows that. You need to understand that.